Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Transformation Cafe, a weekly half hour of light, topical conversation about spirituality, healing, energy, alternative medicine, higher levels of consciousness, and other insights. We're glad you're here. Transformation Cafe, a fun way to nourish your spirit. Now, let's get started and introduce our diners for tonight's show.
I want to welcome everybody to the Transformation Cafe. I am your host, Robin Misevich, and we just have all kinds of lovely diners scooting up to the table tonight. How are we all doing, ladies?
Amazing.
Yeah, that's what I was looking for. Okay. This cacophony of sound, and everybody's like, who the heck is that? So we've got a lot of our regular diners scooting up, and just to kind of let everybody up to speed, just in case you haven't been listening lately, we've been doing a cafe book club, and it's just been a really great experience, and I'll be asking a few of the diners about that as well. Tonight we're going to be talking about persistence, and I believe it's the fourth section in Big Magic. Big Magic is a book that was been written by Elizabeth Gilbert, and she's also the author of Eat, Pray, Love. And it's just a wonderful exploration into looking at creativity in a lot of different directions. And I have to personally say that there's been some ahas in every chapter. There's been new ways of looking at things that I'd never really thought about before. It's bold, it's brave, and some of the things that she really puts out there to have you be able to ponder about and look at and be able to continue conversations. And that's the reason why we really wanted to go ahead and have it here on the show. So how are you doing, Amy? Amy's my sister and also a change agent. She lives in Las Vegas, Nevada, and she's a life coach out there. And she's one of our co-hosts. So how are you doing, Amy?
I'm doing good. I'm feeling very persistent.
Very good. Okay, good. And how have you been feeling about going through all these different, themes that Elizabeth is putting out for in Big Magic?
I really like her, the way she writes. I like her storytelling. And it's really interesting, the whole chapter, or not chapter, it's interesting she has it in parts. I'm not sure. I'd love to understand why she calls them parts and not chapters. That'd be fun to ask. But the persistent chapter goes on and on and on. So it's like you really have to get through this chapter.
There you go. So I think that's what she called it, persistence. Okay. And
I think
Michelle
so.
Is joining us tonight. I know. Miss Michelle is joining us tonight. Hey, Michelle, how are you?
Hey, I'm wonderful. How are you?
Great. I am great. I'm great, grateful and glad for you to be on the call. So how have you been feeling about going through the book?
Well, I'm listening to it on the CD, and she's quite cheeky. She makes fun of herself a lot and, doesn't take herself too seriously. And yet at the same time, she's, firm. So I'm really enjoying it.
Great, great. And we have Miss Glory who just popped on. Hey, Miss Glory, how are you tonight?
I am great, thank you.
So glad to have you joining us. And if anybody else out there wants to go ahead and join into the queue, you go ahead and push number one, and that will basically all know you guys want to come on and go ahead and have a conversation. We also have our chat room open, so if anybody wants to be doing it via chat, we have that available to you as well. So tonight is our episode 278, and again, we're going to be talking about persistence. And right off the bat, Elizabeth talks about how we want to be, she felt very compelled to take a vow of becoming a writer. And if you go back to the last few episodes that we had, when she talks about bravery at the beginning, she talked about how ideas are organic living things that are really looking for partnerships and being able to have something come through and just whatever idea that is, be it a book or just a project or whatever that wanting to be able to put out in that world. And then I love the idea of taking a vow when it came to her writing, because when she did that, it wasn't about being successful. It wasn't about, having anything come more out of it, but just the fact that she was going to dedicate herself to writing all of her life, because she didn't even limit herself to I'll write until I'm 30 or whatever. She didn't put any limitations on it. She just considered that was going to be a lifelong thing that she was wanting to go ahead and do because she just loved to write. So I want to kind of put it out to our diners. Has anybody ever done anything like that where they've taken vows and had it be something where maybe even at a young age, because I think she was, I'm looking real quick here in the book and see how old she was. I think she was about 11, or no, she's 16. She was 16 when she did the vows, and just felt like she's, you know, she turned off the lights of the room, she lit a candle, and she got down on her knees, and she swore to God that she was going to be a writer, and that's just, you know, that level of devotion and commitment to yourself and to a creative process. So, Amy, have you ever had anything like that where you just felt that compelled that you wanted to become, you know, create some kind of a ritual about it?
Yeah, very much so. I've always known that I love business. I mean, just very passionate. We had a very entrepreneurial family, and that was just a real strong drive for me. So I knew I'd get a bachelor's in business. I knew I'd get a master's in business. I was working for the government and doing the business thing. And then in the early 1990s, I kept hearing in my head spirituality at work. I'd never read it anywhere. I never heard it anywhere, but in my head. And it was that I had made a commitment that that would be my life calling. And everything that I do, fine-tuning my skills as a facilitator, a writer, a trainer, learning, everything I do is to that end. And I am committed to grace at work, living it, being a mentor of it, being a trainer of it, and helping the one day that will be just the way it is, that meaning and business are all the same thing. And I stake my time, my money, and my energy and my life to that end.
There you go. How about you, Michelle?
I did not come from a creative family, so I didn't have any kind of commitment to any creativity growing up. It was actually dissuaded.
Uh-huh.
So I've never made a commitment to anything. I do different things when I'm creative. An idea will come, I'll work with it for a while, then something else will come, I'll do that, then something else will come, I'll do that. So but I do notice that there seems to be a theme of nature. But I've never made a commitment to, manifesting creations of nature. But maybe I will.
Well, and I just want to put out there that Michelle is really creative. And the last half to fall, she's taken really beautiful gourds and done really beautiful succulent planters and stuff with them. So when it comes to nature, she's really just taking the season and doing unique things with creating something that can be a takeaway for people to enjoy it in a unique way. So I want to put that out there. So there's definitely creativity with
Amy here. I would like to say I love her work, and I have one of her gourds with the succulents in my kitchen. And I don't always get outside. I spend a lot of time on the computer, and having that in my house helps me feel like I have nature with me.
Oh, that's wonderful.
I know. Yeah, like I'm not creative. No. Yeah, and before that, Michelle had been doing it in this really wonderful, and I think that Michelle's really good at is doing garage sales and estate sales. And she has a very unique eye for very unique gift items and just unique containers and things like that. And before that, she was using really unique containers for succulent, planters. So in terrariums and all different kinds of stuff. So that nature is being expressed in just different ways that you did creativity. So I think
yesterday, Robin and I collaborated. And
yes, we did.
Made a wreath, and I brought the nature aspect, and she brought the bling.
I brought the bling. I was bringing all the fun, unique ornaments out, and we took a wasp, half a wasp nest that had been basically abandoned that she found outside with the pine cones and stuff. Yeah. So anyway, she painted some pine cones this really beautiful cream color, and then we went ahead and sealed the wasp nest, and we put it into the whole, because it was a grape ivy wreath, so it was very organic and, just natural to begin with. Then we added some beautiful green gauze to it, and we did seeded eucalyptus and just all different kinds of stuff. So it had a very nature feel, you know, nature sense to the whole thing. And then I went ahead and blinged it with like a gold reindeer, and then we had some sparkly lime green ornaments and stuff for Christmas. It was very fun. Actually, yeah.
Robin, can I bring up a point from what you're saying? So on page 141, right after she's talking about the vow, she's talking about herself. I wrote every day through my 20s, and she talked about a boyfriend of hers who was a musician, and he would practice every day playing the scales. And what she talks about, she says, it's the same idea to keep your hand in your craft, to stay close to it. And that's what I'm hearing that you and Michelle are saying, is keeping your hand in that craft, in the nature, in following your calling, putting it within everything that you do, and not separate from your life, but including it in what you do. And Michelle made the point really beautifully last week about how creativity is in a business, especially, is in all the decisions, and in a life, in all the decisions, keeping your hand in it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Elizabeth says, it's a simple and generous rule of life that whatever you practice, you will improve at. She said, like Amy was saying, every day she was writing. And I've read somewhere, I can't remember where it was, but if you spend 30 minutes a day for a minimum of, say, 3 years with any topic, no matter what it is, you become an expert. And it's just that half an hour a day that you're dedicating yourself to looking at that. And then later on in the chapter, she talks about John Updike said that for some of the best novels, if you've ever written, you know, they were written in 1 hour increments per day. So it's not like somebody sat down and just did these long writings of writings for a novel. It was an hour a day, and it just all of a sudden it turns into a novel because day by day by day you show up. And even if you have a day when, you know, you're writing and you're like, wow, my writing isn't flowing today, or it sucks. I mean, some days it just may not feel like it's working at all, but you show up the next day and you write again. And you write again, and you write again. So it's that consistency, the persistence, to be, you know, showing up and just loving what you do. That's one thing in the chapter that she talks about. She talks about the shit sandwich. And when I read the title of the section, I went, shit sandwich? I'm like, I don't know about this. But she goes on to say that if the majority of everything that you're doing you love, and you've got those little aspects, you know, would you still do it even if you had to deal with those certain things in your life? That's the shit sandwich. You'll still, you know, she talks about, I think it was a boyfriend or something that was a writer. I think it was a friend of hers, a writer that he was just like, oh, no, I can't write because of this and this and that. And she looked at him like, are you kidding me? I would take that on. You know, to her, that was a shit sandwich. Sure, I'll eat it all day if that's all I have. If that's the only thing that's going to stop me from being able to write, I'm on it. I'll eat mine and then I'll eat yours. Funny the way that she put that, but it's really true. You know, if you've got something in your life, I think everybody has that. If you have an occupation that you really love, it's like with me being a florist, people just go, oh wow, that'd be so great to be a florist. And I think, yes it is, but there's aspects of that that's like any other job that aren't so glamorous or aren't so creative, but there are things that need to happen so you can basically do the things you do love to do. So it's just a part of the
All right,
process.
I have to have Michelle talk about the shit sandwich and make her comment that what she said earlier.
Like, Michelle, you know, we really want to know how you feel about shit sandwiches.
I've just converted to vegetarianism.
So you're just not there.
So you can have my filming too.
Like, thank you. I'll have seconds, please.
Oh, that's a good friend right there.
So he goes right along with that about, you know, what you're going to consider your shit sandwich. Another thing I want to bring up is Michelle had this really wonderful experience she was sharing with me the other day where she has a couple different farms where, like I said, she finds these beautiful gourds for the fall, and she was going to go out to a pumpkin farm with a gourd farm. And, you know, something inside of her said that she should go. And
well, they said
they
were closed. They said online that they were closed for the season, and also they weren't answering their phone.
Mm-hmm. So tell them what happened.
And I was going to go out there with a friend, and the friend said, I don't think we should go. You know, it says they're closed, and they're not answering the phone, and I just felt that I should just go and investigate it. And she's, you know, I said, why wouldn't you go? And she's like, you know, the time, the gas, the, you know, the footprint of using gas. And I was like, I don't know, I just feel like we should go. And we went, and I think we got pumpkins that would normally cost us probably $80 for $15.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. And the thing I love about that, yeah, the thing about that I love about that story is, you know, they showed up and all of these pumpkins were basically kind of buried with all the rest of the, you know, the vines and stuff from the rest of the pumpkins. They
had
to dig. They had
to
look around
fed.
To find them.
They were getting ready to be fed to the livestock.
Yeah, so these beautiful pumpkins would have turned into, you know, the shit sandwich. I know. Well, I get a gourd sandwich. But anyway.
There you go, gourd sandwich.
Yes, exactly. So, you know, it just shows that, you know, she had to go and find it and look around for it. It wasn't like it was just there going, you know, presenting itself. Ta-da! She was like, you know, even going there, getting out, looking around, finding out what's really here for me. And I think that's a really good thing when it comes to being persistent. You know, I'm sensing something. Something is calling me somewhere. Let me go check and see what that's out. And even with, like, when you go and stand there, sometimes maybe when you go someplace, I can totally see you, Michelle, you know, getting there and saying, okay, now what? Okay, now what, right? And so
exactly.
From the now what, yeah, she would basically look around and say something, I feel like I need to go look in, you know, all the, you know, the fields and see what's out there, right?
Well, I literally
turn around and find them.
I literally do speak to spirit and say, you know, what's here for me? Show me.
Mm-hmm. And
today,
you know, and if you, go ahead.
Today I was looking for more pine cones. I'm in love with the pine cones that are very tightly packed. And when you spray them a cream color, they look like shells. And today I went to go volunteer to take care of some dogs for someone, and I happened upon a bunch of pine trees, and I literally said that every step I take shows me where these pine cones are, and so I would start stepping on them, but it didn't break them, but the spirits would actually lead me, because they were in kind of long grass, to actually step on them to find them. And one time I took a step and the next step, and I stepped on, with both feet, I stepped on one.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's just, you know, and we talked about that before on another episode. Dr. Kim had talked about that, about, you know, she had worked with a scientist that went ahead and created the touch screen, and he said that his whole he felt his whole job was to be, you know, just a listener.
Mm-hmm.
To really take in what you know, what he was, you know, getting for information, being able to utilize that, be able to in the creation and the development of things. And I think that's something, you know, being quiet, being silent, giving ourselves just some downtime, which is a wonderful thing with writing anyway, is being able to just slow down. I can say, what's here? What's here for me? And I think that's part of being persistent sometimes too. So I want to talk about the empty bucket, which is on page 146. And Elizabeth goes on to saying, you know, she kept writing and kept writing. And she said, over the years of devotional work, though, I found that if I stayed with the process and didn't panic, I could pass safely through each stage of anxiety and on to the next level. I heartened myself with reminders that these fears were completely natural human reactions to interacting with the unknown. If I could convince myself that I was supposed to be there, that we are meant to engage with inspiration, and that inspiration wants to work with us, and I could usually get through my emotional minefields without blowing myself up before the project was finished. Because, you know, there's always going to be those things that we get to this milestone of something within a book, you know, whether it's a book or a project, and we just wonder, like, you know, how am I going to keep moving forward with this? Because sometimes, you know, we want to sabotage ourselves and not do completion. And that's part of the persistence, I think, is just regularly. I think that's one reason why it's good to have, you know, other people that you can go to from, you know, camaraderie, or just be able to talk to and just say, you know, I'm working through this process. Help me to be encouraged and ask me how it's going so I can keep moving forward. So we've got somebody who can be an accountability partner. I know Amy's really good for that. So is there anything with that, Amy, that you'd like to include?
Well, I like what she says at the bottom of 147 there. She says, you know, at those times. that I almost hear creativity talking to me while I'm spun off into fear and doubt. Stay with me, it would say. Come back to me. Trust me. And I think that's what it comes down to. And you've got to have the willingness to have that kind of courage. And in further on here in Persistence, on page 148, she says, if you want to be an artist of any sort, it seems to me that handling your frustration is a fundamental aspect of the work, perhaps the single most fundamental aspect. Frustration is not an interruption of your process. Frustration is your process. Wow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she says it's the fun part.
I don't know about that, but
yeah. And it's about being resilient, you know? It's about staying in the game, even mm-hmm. when it's tough, even when it's not fun.
Mm-hmm. And there's a certain level of detachment going back to last week's show. And stepping aside and noticing, you know, the cycles that you're going through, that at a certain stage of the creation, she started to notice that a certain thing would happen at each stage and that it would happen over and over again. And that allows you, if you can be present with it, it allows you to recognize the cycle. And I just see like the moon cycle, you know, it gets full and waxes and wanes and goes dark. And it's just part of a larger universal cycle that's being expressed through the creation of her writing, of writing a book. It's just brought down to that level. So just connect yourself to the universe, the universal cycles, and detach. Just see that the universe, God, is acting through you and expressing this cycle through you as you create.
Yeah, I thought that was really great, Michelle. Because I was thinking of that when it comes to the full moon. And Ava and I have a sister, she's a 911 operator, and it, you know, when we're coming in 2 or 3 days before and after the full moon, how crazy people can be. You know, with the moon craziness that happens. And I think that the moon is such a great, you know, the moon, the phases of the moon is a great analogy, because sometimes you just feel like you're going a little crazy.
Yeah.
That's a great analogy.
It
so
is.
Thank you for that. Yeah.
You're welcome.
That is a great, really great one. So
Robin?
Yeah.
This is just a couple points, but, you know, we're good on time, but just I want to make sure that we cover I think two issues that are really critical in this persistence. And on top of page 153, she says, I've seen artists drive themselves broken crazy because of the insistence that they are not legitimate creators unless they can exclusively live off their creativity.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, she's got a dear friend of hers who teaches art, and he's an exquisite painter, painting for portraits and things like that, and he's self-taught. But yet he teaches at, you know, colleges and things like that, because he's just really dedicated himself to the time and the training that he's just spent the time to learn how to be able to do that just through different, you know, mediums and teachers that he's known. So it to me, it kind of goes back to guilds. I mean, think how long we had, you know, Michelangelo and all these just wonderful artists. They were working their way through guilds instead of universities. There wasn't that many during that period. So it's the skills of you know, the artist being, you know, fine-tuned so they can take their art out into the world. So I think that's a really great example about, you know, because she just says, you know, some people, they need to go to college and get that degree, but the majority of the people really look at what you're valuing and what you're making important. Is it society saying, I have a piece of paper, or is it really the fact of going out there and being able to find your way in whatever way that works for you? And she said what she's seen more than not is that it's not really about, you know, the training. It's about what inspires you to move into your own creativity. I think that's a really good point. So we want to go ahead and we want to make sure that we talk about the L call. So you want to talk about that, Amy?
Well, just a little bit. It's a wonderful story, and I recommend that you listen to it, because it's hilarious. I have this expert on the mating call of an elk, and so they have this expert's tape, and she gets a little bit tipsy. So her and her friend go out, and they're in Montana, go out in the wilderness and play this thing, and the 700-pound elk appears, and they think, oh, my God, we're going to die. So that's kind of funny. But the persistent part is, so she wrote a story about it, and she submitted it to this editor who she just thought it was, oh, my gosh, this is, you know, if I could get published by her, my career would be made. And then she got a handwritten note back, it's great, but it doesn't fit with us right now. And then years later, when she had already become published, the same editor read it and, again, loved it, but didn't realize she'd read it before. And this time was like, oh, my God, it's magical, it's mythical, da-da-da-da-da, we're going to publish it. And the point with that is that the elk talk story is really good. I highly recommend you listen to her talk about that. And that it's about staying in the game and being persistent. Being persistent.
And recognizing that who you're dealing with, people who have their own unique humanity, and who knows what's happening with that person on that particular day.
Absolutely.
Just like when I read something, I can read the same thing every day for a week, and I'll get something different every day because I'm a different person every day.
Mm-hmm.
And she had enough confidence in herself. The editor had said there was something wrong with the ending. And she just had enough confidence in herself just to let it be, you know. She didn't start to doubt her ending. She just let it be and moved on. And didn't let that editor define her.
Beautiful.
Yeah, I think that's one thing that we really have to look at that is, because one of the things that goes along with persistence too is Elizabeth makes a real statement about no matter what age you are, your creativity matters. And with every age you are, it's your perspective. You know, younger people really can give a vitality to work that an older person wouldn't necessarily do, but yet older people would give it a maturity and a wiser perspective that young people just don't have because of where they are. So she said, you know, really wanted to encourage everybody to feel like, you know, what you think about, how you want to put something out in the world, it all matters. And don't even, you know, we talked about this before on the show too, don't think that just because somebody else has done it, they haven't done it the way you can do it. So it's important that if you feel very passionate about it and you're in love with that thing and you're willing to do the shit sandwich, I'm going to bring that back up again, that it's important that you go ahead and create it because it's meant to be out in the world or you wouldn't have that passion and that drive and that sense of something like, no matter what, I still feel like it's something that I need to do. I was watching Oprah the other day. She had a lady on there who's very prolific in TV where she's just writing all different kinds of shows. And she was really kind of a scaredy cat, and she just wrote a book, A Year of Saying Yes. So it's about all these things that she never would have allowed herself to do, and now she said yes to them. And she said since then, for a whole year, she said she only did it for a year so she wouldn't freak herself out thinking that she wouldn't, you know, that she'd have to stop herself saying yes. But she's found that she wants to say yes to so many things, and everybody looks at her like, who are you? You're just a totally different person than you were a year ago. So it goes right along with having a creative life. And I want to just make a real quick comment about, you know, we're recording this after the event that we've had in Paris. I had watched Jimmy Fallon from his show last night talking about, you know, people are back out and they're living their life and they're celebrating. They're, you know, enjoying life and being out in the world and knowing that they're making a difference and having it creative and not having what incident, you know, stop them from living their life. And I think that's another thing that we're really talking about here.
Yeah, you can create fear, you can create love.
Absolutely. Yeah. And joy, you know, the joy of that moment and not coming from a fear place of something else could happen. It's just like we're here now and I'm going to enjoy who I am and that I can be with you. I think it's what's really, that's all that matters in the world. So what do you think, Aime?
Well, I like what's coming to me as we're, you know, really at the last couple of minutes here is something that I think is really critical, and she talks about it quite a bit, is perfectionism and what a killer of creativity that is. And it's on page 167. She says, I think perfectionism is just a high couture version of fear. I think perfectionism is just fear in fancy shoes and a mink coat, pretending to be elegant,
when it's actually just terrified. And I think the biggest thing is perfectionism with the time, money, and energy that you have and the life you have, create. And don't worry about it being perfect.
Yeah, there's honor and value in completion. That in and of itself is just being able to complete something,
mm-hmm.
Regardless of its quality, is something. It's something.
Yeah, and it's everything. I mean, that's one thing at the beginning of the book that, you know, we've talked about before too, is it's, you know, what is art? What is creativity? It's just going out and making something just because we can, because that's who we are. We're makers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when people say that there are creative people and they're not creative people, go back to our last episode and check out the magic lesson with Brené Brown and Elizabeth. And Brené talks about that, about how, you know, we're shamed into thinking that we aren't creative, which is just a lie, and allowing ourselves to just be the creative beings that we're meant to be and that we are. And I just think the world would be in such a different place if we weren't, you know, told when we're little that don't do that, you know, or don't give up your day job because you're not a writer or whatever. Like, no one really has the right to shut someone else down when it comes to their creativity. They may have an opinion, but that's all it is. It's just an opinion about what somebody else has done. And who knows, some of that could be jealousy because they haven't done it themselves.
It's just a projection.
Important. Yeah, just a projection of somebody's stuff, yeah. So, you know, really want to encourage people to go look at the book. We've got our forum available, and we'd love to have your comments. We're looking forward to our next episode. It's going to be on trust. And Amy and I were kind of joking with each other about how persistence and trust are like the biggest chapters of this book. And, well, just considering it's persistence, it's big, and considering it's trusting, it's big. So we're looking forward to having that conversation as well. And I want to thank all of our diners and, you know, for joining us tonight. And really go ahead and we really love you for joining us. If this is something new for you, go ahead and join us. And thank everybody all over the world. We have an international audience, and we really want to thank them for joining us on a regular basis. So thanks for joining us at the Cafe Book Club, and we'll see you next time here at the Cafe.
We hope you enjoyed listening to the Transformation Cafe podcast. To learn more, visit transformation-cafe.com for show notes, guest information, and links to previous shows. You can also subscribe to the Transformation Cafe podcast on iTunes. Join us again next time at the Transformation Cafe, a fun place to nourish your soul.